We're excited to see everyone this morning. We're so thankful that we have you here with us this morning. If you've got a chance, crack up. First thing that I want to point out to you there is just a reminder is that June 2nd, our fellowship evening meal, we're going to have a fish fry. I know everyone gets excited about that. Everyone loves a good fish fry. And then we're also going to be having, and you've probably seen that out there in the Hallelujah Hallway, we're doing a baby shower for the Hope Lives Pregnancy Center. And so you can go to their site. Any baby stuff that you think that a baby would need or is very welcome. New items, of course. And we're going to stack those up out there and help kind of stock them up for when they open. I'll also tell you, and we'll get some more information out for you soon, is that they are taking volunteers now. There is a form that you go to their webpage and you fill out, and you list all the stuff that you can be a volunteer on, and they get you vetted to make sure that you're safe to be around other people, which I'm sure most of you are, but they find out that, and then they'll get you signed up and they'll let you know when you can come and serve at the pregnancy center. And so be looking for that if you feel like you want to serve in that way. Also, June 17th through 21st, and hopefully you've already got your calendars marked for this, but this is going to be our vacation Bible school. I mean, we've been already just amazingly blessed when Courtney put out the sign-up sheet, and within 2 weeks, every slot was filled. And that's an amazing thing. It's a wonderful thing. Thank you all so much for doing that. But let me also say this, is that just because a slot's been filled doesn't mean we can't use you. We for sure can use you. We always need floaters. We always need somebody to fill in. Someone will for sure get sick that week or something's going to happen. So we still have opportunities for you to serve. If you're interested in that, find Courtney Roberts. She will be more than happy to help find a place for you to serve that way, right? Also, you'll see out there in the Hallelujah Hallway, there is a sign-up sheet. We're taking a trip going to Gap up in Eastern Kentucky. My earpiece doesn't want to work this morning. We're going to Eastern Kentucky. We're going to feed, we've got some numbers around 300 to 400 people, right? We're going to feed 300 to 400 people. You can imagine that takes a pretty big outpouring of energy and effort, and so that sign-up sheet is out there. Also, been super blessed so far in that. The sign-up sheet has got a lot of names on it, but not enough. We need more people that will commit to that. It's a one-day thing, but it's going to be a long day. It's going to be a long day, but it's a one-day commitment. But we would love to have you come serve alongside of us in that. We've done that once before, not on this scale before, but we've done it once before. And I promise you, you'll be blessed. I can guarantee you'll be blessed in that. And then June, I don't get anxiety. I'm thankful for that. But man, when I look at the month of June on my calendar, I'm like, ooh, this is almost anxiety inducing, right? We got a lot of stuff happening in June. But then you see there in the 23rd, we'll have our wrap up commencement and picnic. We'll watch Raphael make sure he keeps all his fingers as he shoots off fireworks at our picnic for us, right? And so the church is going to provide hot dogs, chips, and cookies. And man, we just look forward to you guys coming and hanging out with us and having a fun time of fellowship and seeing what our kids have learned that week in VBS. It's a great night. Please make plans to be there for us. A couple things that I wanted to mention that didn't make the announcements is also in the Hallelujah Hallway, we've been super blessed that more and more people are coming with children on Wednesday nights. That's a wonderful thing. And so we're starting a Wednesday night nursery. You can sign up and you can do that. And we would love to have you come alongside of us in that, right? So that's an option for out there as well. We have a couple birthdays to celebrate today. We got Josiah Jury having a birthday. And then also Wyatt King's having a birthday, yes. Wyatt's very low-key. He's like, don't look at me right now, right? And then last night, this is just a picture, just show you a wonderful group of people. That's the New Creation Sunday School class and some others that went to serve with Dining with Dean Lee last night. I don't know how many we served, probably close to 100, we'll say that. I'm not sure. But just a really good opportunity to come and serve and to serve and to fellowship with one another and to also let some people know that, hey, man, God loves them. We love you. We see you. And we want to give you a good meal. And I was told, this wasn't told to me, but I was told when some people that were waiting out front saw us pull up, they're like, oh, Dallasburg's here, this will be good. And so we've already got a name of ourselves, we're making good food, and so that's a wonderful thing. And so just to say all that is that here at Dallasburg, lots of opportunities to serve. Lots of opportunities. If you would love to serve, if the Lord is calling you to serve in some way, man, get with me. I promise you I can find some way that we can utilize you and you can glorify God in your service, okay? We're here this morning. We have a wonderful time of celebration this morning. We're going to celebrate some baptisms, right? Can never have enough baptisms this morning. And just because, let me set a tone for us just real quick, is that a baptism is an outward expression of what's already happened internally. So both of these individuals are already brothers in Christ, right? But what they do today is showing us what's externally to God's word and what he calls us to, right? And so I will turn it over to Tony.
Video. Hi, I'm Josiah, and I think it's important to share my testimony with others. And that's what I'm going to do today. I've always grown up learning about God and how he loves us, but I never had a true relationship with him. But one night when I was riding home, not driving, I'm not that age yet, there was a deer that ran across the road, and Mom had to slam on the brakes really hard, and we barely missed it. And in that moment, I realized that I didn't have salvation, and I wanted God to live in my heart. So later that night, I told Mom what was going on in my mind, and I just spent lots of time in prayer and asking him to forgive me and asking him to live in my heart. And I felt like I had weights on my shoulders and they were just like lifting off. And I was really happy. And I knew it was real. And that was last summer. And I've been doing lots of devotions and praying and Bible studies. And I encourage you, and I hope that you will take it seriously and have salvation.
There's nothing that we could do for that sin, but God so loved the world that he sent his only son, Jesus, to pay that price. God also, when you made the decision to have Christ as your Savior, we also are blessed.
And I gained a about 12 short years ago. Me and this guy was running as hard as we could away from Christ, and we was taking as many people with us as we could. We were selling dope and just sinning as hard as we could and running away from God as hard as we could. But today, God has seen fit for me to baptize. He made that decision. All right, so I have a few questions I want to ask Ryan. Ryan, have you acknowledged that you're a sinner? You acknowledge that Christ is your only way to salvation and the only way for forgiveness of those sins?
Yes.
Okay, and do you dedicate your life from here on out to serving the Lord and doing his will and his what he's called you?
Of Christ. So in worship of the Lord Jesus Christ, let us stand and let us sing of that wonderful day of when we all get to heaven. And we do so because of Christ. Let us sing that.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sign. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of him in glory will the toils of life repay. when we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory. Onward to the prize before us, soon His beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Amen. That last phrase, when we all see Jesus, we'll sing.
Some bright morning when His life is over, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, my and my, I'll fly away. When the shadows of this life have gone, I'll fly away. Like a bird from prison bars that flew, I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to a land where joy shall never end. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away.
Awesome. And psalms like that remind us that we can sing that. So let us sing that.
I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came in glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning, of His precious blood's atoning, then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is to Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about His healing, of His cleansing power revealing, how He made the lame to walk again and cause the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory. He loved me ere I about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing of it, the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, our Savior forever. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He cleansed me to cleansing flood.
Let us sing that this morning.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power in thine alone can change the leper spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
You may
pray for their time. They just start dragging you. If you don't want to go, he'll just come and get you. Just how thankful I am to our musicians that do an amazing job of preparing our hearts to hear God's word. Just so thankful of getting to participate and be part of two baptisms this morning. How thankful and blessed we are to have. I just want to say something real quick, and really none of this has to do with our text today, so this is all free, this is extra, right? Is that what we saw today in the baptism is that we have a role to play in this as well. You're not just spectators watching someone up there get dunked. You're also committing to, and we did this when they came forward as members and wanting to give their lives to Christ, but we also have a responsibility to help with discipleship. And so with Josiah, right, we have opportunities to pour our lives into him and to help him along the way. And we have the same opportunity with Ryan, right? We have the opportunity to speak truth into his life. One of those big ones is accountability, right? Is we want to help hold these two, I keep wanting to say young men, maybe you're young to me, Ryan, right? We want to keep holding these young men. We want to hold them accountable because that is one of the purest ways that we love one another is accountability. And I'm just going to tell you for a fact, the church has got this wrong for many years, not just Dallasburg. I'm just saying the church in general is that we just baptize people and we're like, be free and go forward into the world. And we just turn, we are called to baptize and make disciples, right? That is clear in Scripture, but we're also called to disciple those individuals. And so we need to commit to these people. And one of the ways that you can do that is through prayer. Pray for these individuals. Pray for Ryan. Pray for Josiah, right? Just so thankful for the Lord calling them forward and for them to come forward in that way and to commit themselves to that, but also an accountability, right? All right, that's got nothing to do with what we're talking about today, but I just wanted to say that. Just a wonderful way to start off our day. And I want to say something else. This is completely unrelated, is that for you guys are doing a lot better job at clapping in songs, right? I mean, I'll tell you, it used to sound like popcorn, and I'm like, oh my gosh, quit clapping, you're messing this up. But you guys are doing better at clapping and staying. And I was thrown off this morning. I always watch Ruby. Guys, I know Ruby's got rhythm. I just clap however Ruby. And we sang that song, Ruby wasn't in here, and I'm like, oh, I'm just going to quit clapping. So you guys are doing so good. Thank you for continuing to grow in that. We find ourselves today right smack dab in the middle of the greatest sermon that's ever been preached, right? The Sermon on the Mount, as Christ is continuing to preach to his disciples and to others that are hearing this sermon, as he continues to correct what this wrong pharisaical way of teaching, as these rabbis have kind of twisted God's word and taught it in an incorrect way, and he continues to work through that. And so far he's talked about anger, right? And so we learned really quick a couple weeks ago that if we have anger in our hearts, we have anger in our thoughts, it's akin to physically murdering someone. So we learned that a couple weeks ago. Last week we learned about, and so today he brings us to another really easy subject, talking about divorce, right? And I joke when I say it's an easy subject. This discussion is really what we would call the third rail in church. And the third rail comes from a discussion of subways. And as there's three different rails, and two of them transfer electricity, but one of them carries the current. Right, 750 volts usually is on that one current. And so it's said, it's like, this is a subject we don't want to touch. And I actually read some commentaries that I could not disagree with more that said, basically, as a pastor, just skip this verse. Just skip this verse, go on to the next verse, act like it doesn't exist. Well, you all know me way better than that. That's not going to happen. But I say this, is that God's word is correct and that we're the problem. Right? There's just no reason we can't do that. When I was looking forward to your Sunday school lesson today, I was like, man, we're getting a double whammy. You're going to learn in Sunday school about giving and tithing, and then you're going to come to corporate worship, and we're going to talk about divorce. I was like, whew, man, you guys are going to, you all wish you'd plan a Memorial Day vacation right now, don't you? But honestly, there's no reason. I think this is a subject that should be discussed. I think it's a subject that we should not be afraid of. And I think it's a subject that God, obviously, Christ wants us to understand. And that's what we're going to do today. So let me read some scripture for us, and then we'll pray. We find ourselves this morning in Matthew chapter 5, verse 31 through 32. God's word says this: it was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say, makes her. Dear God, I want to thank you for today. Lord, I just thank you for a wonderful time of worship already this morning with a baptism. Outwardly, what's already happened in these young men's hearts, Lord, we're just so blessed to get to be a part of that. I'm so thankful for our time, songs that give us right now to have it. We all have to resist is we don't want to take your word and try to, what we understand, apply it to the only. So before we dig too deep into this discussion, I want to kind of give rough to read this. But the general trend is this. Some of you all remember this. I definitely remember in 1969, Ronald Reagan, like as a kid, I remember Ronald Reagan. I was born in 73, but I do remember him. He was then governor of California, and they were the first state to sign in the nation's first no-default divorce bill. And so prior to 1969, there was no state in the United States to where you didn't have to produce a real reason to be divorced. It couldn't be just like, well, we don't get along, or I don't like her anymore, or he's uglier than he was when we got married, right? It couldn't be that. It had to be a real reason, a legal reason for that to happen. And he signed it in 1969, and it literally opened the floodgates that every state rushed to follow suit. If you're curious, some of y'all have maybe heard the quote of Mark Twain. He's famously said that he wants to be in Kentucky when the rapture happens because Kentucky's at least 20 years behind the rest of the nation, and he thinks he'll be okay if he's in Kentucky. Well, apparently we're only 7 years behind because 7 years following that, Kentucky passed that statute for the same thing, no default divorce, and divorces just, not exponentially, but just grew at a crazy rate at that point. And people were just filing divorces left and right. And so we talk about that, and there's tons of data. I did a lot of research on this, is that speaking data-wise, the dangerous years of marriage are the first and second years, right? That's when it's dangerous. So you think, well, if I can make it through 2 years, I'll be okay. Well, then it shows that divorce has another peak there, and you've kind of heard they want to bail. And so for us to truly dig into this discussion on divorce, and the reality is there's not a family here this morning that hasn't been touched by this in some way. Either a mom or a grandparent or maybe themselves or a daughter or a son. But there's a, and so for us to have this discussion, you really can't really dig into this talk, this discussion on divorce without first talking about marriage and the importance of marriage. And so in Genesis chapter 2, verse 23 to 24, we have the first marriage. God performs the first marriage when he brings Adam and Eve together. God's word says this: "Then the man said, this at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she is taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." Now, I want to tell you, I want to make something other than the wonderful baptisms. I'm confident you'll remember that. Is I hope he's so committed to it, he performed the first marriage. Now, what's unfortunately happened is that we've turned marriage into just another legal document, right? In my life, I've been very thankful to be married because I've always piggybacked on my wife's insurance, and her insurance has always been better than mine, right? And I am thankful that we have a piece of paper that Melissa shows to her HR. They're like, "Are you sure you want to let him be on your insurance?" And she's like, "I guess." And so I get to be on her insurance. And so the truth is fill out and turn into the courthouse, right? It matters to him, right? And so it says there, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife," right? I really like that translation. You can also translate that "hold fast" is welded. Is he's just welded to his wife, that we shall become one flesh. And I love this concept of being welded together. Now, I know a lot of you all are probably good enough welders to put a piece back on your bush hog when you blow it off. Don't give me the torch because I am not the guy to help you with that. But I do know the difference between a good weld and a bad weld. Right? A good weld looks like you're stacking nickels or dimes if you're super good at it. A bad weld just looks like you're just kind of throwing stuff together. And I think there's a clear analogy here is that when we're, he talks about it again in Matthew chapter 19, verses 5 and 6, and said, and he's quoting here back to Genesis, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not get along." He doesn't like it when they leave in divorce. We'll get into some more discussion about that here in a second, right? He wants us to stay together. You know, one of the things, and I kind of would encourage you to do this, but it kind of put me in a weird state of mind. I thought this week, I spent some time dedicated to thinking about the dumbest thing I've ever done in my marriage. And that's a long list, and the more I thought, I'm like, I just feel worse and worse about this. I was like, golly, I am horrible. I was like, oh. And I fell on this one, and I want to share this with you, and there's a point to this. Melissa and I were married. Like I tell people all the time, second best thing that ever happened in my life. Number one, best thing that ever happened to me is Jesus Christ called me to be a follower of his. Second best thing is Melissa fell for it, and she married me. You know, I still wonder. I was like, man, how did I pull that off? But God love him, man. God made her blind for a little bit. I don't know. But we are married, and we knew before we got married, we had the conversation. We went through biblical counseling, which I would encourage any young people before you get married. Biblical counseling is amazing. We knew we wanted to have children, and God blessed us with that. And Melissa was about as pregnant as you can get with Meredith. Meredith's sitting right there beside her. And I mean, literally, like, it's any day now, right? And it's so dumb. I'm so dumb. And so she has maternity jeans on, and I was in a lot better shape then than I am now. And so she took her pants off, and for some reason, I put them on. I'm like, look how big these are on me. And she turned around. It was like a fire. And I was like, why is she so mad? And I was like, oh, man, I'm the dumbest person ever, right? I tell this story to say this, is that Melissa and I are still married, right? We're still married. And so one of the things I would encourage you, and I think there's really two groups of people that we're really, that Christ is focusing on here, is that number one is we're talking about the people that haven't been married or are currently. Not just men. Now, a lot of us, we do a lot of dumb things, but wives, you do some dumb things. Believe it or not, she loved me enough that we're still married. 22 years, right? 23, okay, I got time. She'll give me for that too, right? 23 years. We've been married 23 years, and that's because we remember the story of the prodigal son. At one point, you were running as hard as you could in the opposite direction, and God stood, right? And so what is the purpose of a marriage? Like, what does it represent? Well, marriage represents a symbol. It's a visible thing. It's a touchable thing that you and I can touch, and it reminds us the relationship between Christ and his church. And so when we want to kind of flesh this out, is like, what does God think about divorce? What does he desire? We're back to this same discussion here from Genesis. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. It's probably pretty clear. This is pretty serious to God, right? This is quoted a lot, referencing back to this. The mystery is profound, and I'm saying, however, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. And so quite simply, if someone, and no one ever argued, in all my research, I didn't find anyone that argued against that God doesn't desire divorces for relationships. But this is really easy to say this, is that, let's ask your question this, is the relationship between Christ and the church permanent? You better hope it is. You better be thankful it is. I'm very thankful it is. I am thankful for the assurance of my salvation, right? I like to tell people all this time, if there's any way that you could lose your salvation, you would. So be thankful of that assurance. And so it's very clear in Scripture. We don't have to work that hard. I probably don't have to really beat this drum too much to let you all know, right? And so you ask, what happened? Well, sin entered the picture. Right, what is marriage? Melissa says this a lot, and I was thinking about this week. I was like, oh, I know why she said that's all we are. We're just two sinners living in a home together, trying to figure things out. Are we going to make bad decisions? Yeah, like putting on your wife's maternity pants and talking about how big they are on you. That's a bad decision, right? You're going to make bad decisions. And so sin entered. When did sin enter? Well, right after we read this morning about Genesis. We'd run to the third chapter of Genesis, verses 16 through 18. To the woman he said, this is after they have taken of the fruit, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be contrary to your husband. There you go. That's the problem in marriage, is you've got two individuals that if they don't have Christ at the center, more on that in a second, if they don't have Christ at the center of their marriage, you got one person that wants to do this and another person wants to be that, and they don't care. They don't want to get along. They want to be both chiefs. I was reading some commentary, and marriages that don't have Christ at the center is like playing king of the hill. Now, I've shared with you all, I was never the first person picked for any athletic thing at all. But dude, I was master of king of the hill. When I got on the top, it took a lot to get me off that thing, right? And so I was good at king of the hill. But the truth is, our marriages are not king of the hill. We're not trying to do that. It's a relationship. We're trying to model how much Christ loved the church. That's how much we are supposed to love our wives. And as a church, and so what happened, right? And so again, I'm speaking to those of you that currently are married or maybe would one day like to be married. There's a very, I am confident without Jesus Christ, Melissa would have choked me out with those pants, right? I understand what it means to have Christ at the center. Because the fact is this, is that we aren't always going to get along, right? We aren't always going to decide the same things. One of the constant things that flows in our house is like, where do you want to go eat? And no one wants to decide where they want to go eat until we say something like, oh, I don't want to go there. I don't want to go there. All right, and so a lot of you are nodding. That's not just me. Okay. And so a lot of that happens, and it can grow and grow, and then you get like me. Then I purposely start picking places I know she doesn't want to go just so she can disagree, right? And but we have to understand is that for those who desire it, desire for your wife, submit to authority, love your wife, love your husband, be committed to what God has called you to do. He has brought you together as one flesh. It's not just about a piece of paper at the courthouse. It's about what God loves, authority. And next thing you know is divorce happens. And, you know, it's never commanded in Scripture. It never says you have to get a divorce. Now, we see there when they're talking to Jesus, and there's like, they're trying to trick him up, and they're trying to play gotcha with Jesus, which is crazy, right? Like, how you find to play gotcha with Jesus? He's a co-author of Scripture, right? And so they're trying to play gotcha with him, and they're like, well, Moses commanded that if adultery happened, you had to divorce your wife. And Christ, I like to call it an allowance. It is an allowance because of our sinful selves, right? But never think for a second that is one of the things that Christ is addressing at this point. And if you think divorce is rampant in 2024, let me give you some information here. In Christ's time, there were basically two schools of thought, two rabbis that kind of ruled the show. There was the Shammai, he was the conservative rabbi, and there was Hillel, he was the liberal rabbi. And so the very conservative rabbi, only for sexual impurity was divorce allowed. No other reason, right? He didn't even, 1 Corinthians hadn't been written yet, and so in 1 Corinthians, Paul discusses abandonment. But then you come to Hillel, and he's the liberal, kind of like we have today, conservatives and liberals. And they had gotten to the point you could get divorced for anything. And divorce was all over the place, right? And so your wife burns the dinner, certificate of divorce, right? Too much salt on your food, certificate of divorce, right? You find a younger, more attractive lady, certificate of divorce. And divorces were happening everywhere. And so when Christ is addressing this issue, he's addressing it from that point of view. He's saying, what in the world are you all doing? This is not what Scripture teaches. And he was quoting Genesis multiple times. And he was saying, look what God thinks of divorce and you guys, or what thinks of marriage, and you guys have thrown it away like it means nothing. Stop cheapening what God has brought together. And that's what Christ is addressing in verse 31 when he says, it was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But then what does he say? But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery. Right? And so he's addressing this issue, and he's saying, this is wrong of you all to cheapen this. It's no different than we look at the anger, and we look back at the lust, and he says, you guys have taken something that God has made right, and what have you done? You've perverted it and made it wrong. Now I have to say this. Of those of you, is my parents were divorced. Even my grandparents were divorced, right, and remarried. So I'm not immune to this, and some of you here today have been divorced. The truth is this, divorce is not the unforgivable sin. And unfortunately, the church treated that way for a long time. I disagree with the way it was handled. The reality is this, is that what Christ's atoning work on the cross would cover that sin. And so it is not the unforgivable sin, right? But we can't just say that God is happy for divorce. He's not happy with divorce. He's also not happy when you get angry. He's not happy when you're lustful. I was thinking about this week, and I was like, well, just 2 weeks ago, I called everyone, including myself, liars, adulterers, and murderers. This really shouldn't be that much harder for us to hear, right? But this hits close to home, right? This is mom or dad, or I desire this. And man, I know there are men who desire this, right? And so abandonment is an allowance for divorce, but again, welded. One of the things that I would encourage us to think through, and I think this is super important to think about this, is that in your life, in your situation, rather than saying, fill in the blank is a grounds for divorce, I'm out of here, I'm leaving, right? I would encourage you to say this, is whatever that action is that grounds for forgiveness? Is it an opportunity for restoration? Is it an opportunity for morality? Man, I remember the first time I was talking with someone, and just out of ignorance, and you guys are like, Michael, you're pretty ignorant. I was like, I don't disagree with that. We were talking about this, and I was like, to be straight in my face, he goes, I did it. And I was like, what? Anyway, they had struggled with it, and my mouth almost hit the floor, and I was like, oh, man, I'm so sorry. Because I was just talking like, man, I don't know how anyone could do that. It was a reminder to me how Christ celebrate recovery. Many of you all were there as we were celebrating that. We had so many beautiful testimonies, just one right after the other. And one of the things that, you know, I pointed out is that when people are your friend there, or they're, I would encourage you to think, how does Christ forgive you for what you've done? And I'm telling you, be careful. And I don't know if it's a good thing for you or not, for you to go and think about all the dumb things you've done to your wife. Because, man, it will remind you real quick. It's like, dude, I don't know why God saved me. Right, because not only was I dumb to my, I've professed certain things and acted a different way. I've been a hypocrite, but what is God? And so, again, these two verses, man, they are difficult. And I understand in the time that we have here with us today, we don't have the time to fully flesh this out. And so just let me leave you with this point for sure. God loves marriage. He wants you to fight for your marriage. He wants you to stay in your marriage. And number two, when problems arise and sin arises. And the third point is this, is that if you've gone through a divorce and this has happened to you, is that God forgives that situation. He doesn't want you to stay just locked down like, oh my gosh, I can't do anything for God, right? I've done something that's unforgivable. Not true. It's not unforgivable. God forgives you. The atoning work that Christ did, hope. And so what does God want us to be? He wants us to be victors and conquerors because the last thing I'm gonna leave you with is this, is that love your, try to overlook the dumb things they do. Have honest, genuine conversations. That's one of the things, and I pray that's a hallmark of my ministry. Don't be afraid of an awkward conversation. And for those of us that have gone through a divorce in their family, dear God, we want to thank you for today. We want to thank you for your word. Lord, I know how sensitive a subject this is for the church. Lord, I know that we understand the value you place upon marriage. We understand that we should, as a church, encourage marriage and support marriage, support that. We believe in that because we know you believe in that. Lord, your word tells us is that marriage is an earthly representation of the relationship between Christ and the church. And so we understand how important Christ treats the church and how much the church loves Christ, and we want to model that in our marriages. But Lord, we understand that divorces, we understand that those, we understand, Lord, we're so thankful. We just ask that you continue to point out to us how sinful we are, but how beautiful and glorious you are. And then we'll understand, number one, our need.
Let us stand and let us respond and worship.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou say, it is well, it is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul, with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate and hath shed his own blood for my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul, with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin not in part, but the whole is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is well with my soul, with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when the face shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trumps shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. It is well, it is well.
Excellent. I tell you, I'm so thankful to be part of this church for so many reasons, but one of them is, man, you guys are amazing singers, and it just blesses my heart to hear you all sing. It just blesses me. I didn't forget that tomorrow's Memorial Day, and so Memorial Day is an interesting holiday. It's began off as Decoration Day, and it was originally for Civil War soldiers that had given their life in battle, and initially they wanted it to be only Northern soldiers, but then the Southern people had a problem with that, and so they wanted to make it for all soldiers. And so what Memorial Day has become is it's a day to honor those, our loved ones, who made the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms. And so we do that. We have a long history of military service at Dallasburg Baptist Church. And so we want to be thankful for all those sacrifices, those men and women, and also pray for their families as they went forward without their loved ones, right? It's kind of morphed also into this, is that it's kind of turned into a Memorial Day for everyone. As many of you, this might be your first year of losing a loved one. We pray for you in that. And for some of you, it may be the 60th or 70th year of not having someone, and I'm not sure it ever feels any different. You still miss that person and love them. And so we want to honor that. We want to respect that. And so we'll pray for everyone in that, right? We also have a special time. Briler, where's Briler? Hey, there's Briler. I see you. Come up here, Briler. As many of you may or may not know, Briler leaves for the Marine Corps Tuesday. Tuesday, yes, he's already saying yes, sir. I like it, man. Right? And so he leaves for that. And so what we're going to do is, I'll also say this. I know we got some family members that are upset. They love you. They care about you. We have, as a church, right? We baptized Briler recently, and we're committed to discipling him. And man, one of the things you all can do for him in the next, is it 3 months?
Yes, sir.
3 months. Pray for him, right? I understand receiving cards may not be well received, so maybe we shouldn't send cards for the next 3 months. I've kind of heard what happens at the Marines, but pray for him. They can't do anything about you praying for him. So pray for him. Raphael is gonna give a special prayer for him. I actually have a card for you from the church. The church signed that. You don't have to read it right now. We're going to pray for him, but man, be committed to him, because here's the reality. We've talked about this a lot. The armed services aren't what they used to be. Right? And so as it could go and be a light in a dark world, including the military. And so after Raphael prays for him, Briler's going to be down here. Hey, man, I encourage you guys to come by, encourage and pray for him. Let him know that you care about him, and let him know that you're going to be praying for him for the next 3 months, because I hear it's kind of tough. I don't know. All right? Raphael.